Good morning and welcome to the Automation Morning Show for, what is today? Wednesday. It is April 17th. It's 7:07 in the morning and we got an exciting day today. We have some guests coming in. Hopefully they'll be able to make it. And things are just crazy as we're doing so much stuff here in the office. But with that said, I do want to jump into the news. I hope you're having an awesome morning up here in the Northeast. It seems like it's going to be a beautiful morning. Sunny, mild, and so on. So let me select the website here, and we'll start with our first sponsor, theautomationschool.com. If you know anybody looking for PLC, HMI, or SCADA training, please recommend theautomationschool.com to them. I'm currently working on the Unified Basic course for and Unified Comfort Panel course for the school. You can see it's on pre-order here. If I can back up a couple slides, you'll see it's 70% off. Well, you'll see it right here, down here. But in any case, with that, we go to our second sponsor, theautomationblog.com. You can see here, we're starting to post our micro blog. So as we cover news on the show, we'll follow up with small blogs about each news topic of interest, typically product related, over at theautomationblog.com. And we are working on trying to turn the transcripts of these shows into articles. I know there's sometimes in the day where you just can't put your headphones on and listen to a show, so it's nice to be able to read about it. So if you guys have any sources of transcript to interview or article resources, let me know, because we're looking around to try to find one. So with that, let's go over to our first news story today. And this is kind of like a press release, kind of like a product spotlight. And this is from Beckhoff. And Beckhoff's talking about how their PC-based control can outperform in plastic packaging and or plastic applications. Now, the one they cite here, they talk about all the just generically their line of products and what the benefits and features are. I'm just going to check on the mic. Yeah, the mic looks good. I did adjust the volumes. Let me know if they're too high or too low. But I try to adjust them before I go live every day now. But in any case, this is a machine that they have, a blow mold machine here that takes the little injected molded pieces and blows them up to big bottles. And then here they have a filler, they have a capper, a labeler, and then they have a packager or palletizer. And so you go through and you click each one, they'll tell you how they perform. And then they have links to their PC-based control platform and EtherCAT and TwinCAT and so on. So I wanted to share that with you. Because we don't often see something like this from Beckhoff, and I'm trying to learn more about them and all the products we cover on the news. From there, we go over to Cole Morgan. Now, I actually missed this when we brought the show back on. This is a couple weeks old, but they expanded their AKD2G line with new protocols. And here's a picture of the unit here. It looks like your typical small driver servo. And if we come down here, what they've added is they've added support for Profinet IRT and Ethernet IP with SIP sync. So this allows them to do coordination, synchronization of motion between drives, which is very important in some applications. Now they also have CANopen and EtherCAT, that's a big add for them. And congratulations to Cole Morgan on that. From there, we go over to the new products of April from Profi News. I always love watching this. These are your new Profinet, Profibus, IO-Link, and Omlox products. And some really interesting stuff here. First of all, what's the name of this company? Servotronics. I've never heard of them, at least not that I remember. Servotronics has released some new servos with Profinet. We also have managed switches. Here's another new one for me. Managed switches from Teltonika with Profinet certification. And then with Omlox, Omlox is like your real-time tracking or location system. It's a standard, kind of like IO-Link is, and other standards are. But Omlox is the first company released a badge, like a employee badge that features Omlox. And what this does is, the company's name is Infrafon, I don't know. Sorry, guys. But in any case, this company released a 3D positional shop floor badge, right? That is can find positions up to 10 centimeters in accuracy. So you'll pretty much know where somebody is if they're wearing this badge. You'll have a pretty good idea if they have it on. So I thought that was very interesting. Again, all the links to everything I covered today will be at automate.news later in the day. From there, we go over to a new IP69K IO block with Profinet and IO link. And this is the Siemens Simatic ET200 Clean. It's designed for food, pharmaceutical, and packaging industries. You know, the IP69K kind of give that away. But it is also designed for hygiene-sensitive applications. So I did not see this on the Siemens site. So, but that may have came out during our hiatus. But in any case, and here's the Cole Morgan drive again with the Profinet IRT. And then we have an IO-Link hub for scaling IO. And this one is from Lumberg, which is a Belden company, apparently. And this is their Lion X 16 Digital IO IO-Link hub. And it says it offers up to 0.35 amps per channel. Okay, from there we go over to an IO-Link enabled conductivity and pH sensors from Birkett. I think everybody knows that name. And so if you're looking for either conductivity or pH sensors with IO-Link, you have it there. And then this one kind of brought a smile to my face. I'm like, oh, I want to get one of these. PineTech Networks has introduced an IO-Link hat, an IO-Link add-on board for Raspberry Pi. So I know on my Raspberry Pi, which I still haven't programmed yet, I have a couple of isolated I.O. cards on it to control my model trains someday. And I did have a vendor reach out to me and ask if we wanted to look at their, review their I.O., their Raspberry Pi 5 starter kit. So I did send them back, say, sure, send it in. We'll take a look at it. I'll have Joseph do it. He's done all the Arduino stuff. But in any case, yeah, so that's really interesting that IO-Link. Now, my question would be, so what are you going to use? You're going to use OpenPLC on that? And will it work with that IO-Link board? Or are you going to use CodeSys and spend, I think, $60 for that license and get, a supported? You know, CodeSys is used in a lot of platforms where OpenPLC is more like I would consider it more of a maker style of IDE for programming PLCs. But in any case, I guess you could use either. But the question is, will they support this? Because you get IO-Link, but most of us don't want to be writing, JavaScript or, any of these other, C++ or anything like that. We want to be in, our 611.31-3. So where did I get the 232 from? I don't know. And maybe it's from here. The next one we have, and last one on the list, is an RS-45 chip with Profibus support. So you don't see a lot of new Profibus products out there. I mean, it's an older network, but that's cool. So somebody created an RS-45 transceiver with 40 megabyte speed that is Profibus compatible. Interesting. All right. So next on, we'll just go into the articles here. And this is an article from Profi News as well. And this one talks about an update to the Profinet standard. It's called Maintenance Update 5 or MU5. And they're adding an additional security to it, to Profinet. And they go through and discuss this. This is based on IEC 62443. We've had ISA on to talk about that. And, it's a very interesting article. It kind of gets deep, but it allows you to use Syslog, which is a protocol for logging system messages. So if you're interested in that, it does get kind of deep. Most of us will probably not have to use it. But for any type of IT/OT administrator, network administrator, that's going to be a big deal. From there, we go over to an article from Rockwell. Now, I kept going back and forth whether I was going to cover this article. I mean, I try to stay away from any virtual signaling. Being a technical guy who has a degree in electronics, right, hands-on, and, spent, 34 years programming PLCs and HMIs and SCADA systems, I really like to talk about facts. And not talk about fluffy pink clouds in the sky that nobody can reach or realize. And not say I'm not a futurist. I do believe in trying to break barriers technically in other ways. But, hiring people just because they're of a particular group and not because they're good at the job, Atlas shrugged, right? So I won't go into that. In any case, I thought this article, it kind of kept going back and forth for me. The title of the article, if you're listening, is Becoming a More Sustainable Industrial Organization. Now, sustainable to some people means, hey, we're going to be productive because we're not going to waste, and we're going to be good citizens and not pollute a lot. We're going to pollute as little as possible because pollution's bad, right? I think everybody can agree on that. But sustainable to other people mean let's virtual signal a lot and talk about all these alphabet soups. Forget that. You know, like my wife teaches in school, be kind to everyone. And you don't need to do anything more than that. Be fair and kind. So in any case, so this article does get into some really good stuff. And it talks like 98% of manufacturers have a sustainability policy in place, but they talk about, you know, what you need to know about that, right? You know, and they repeat some of the numbers we know, we've heard on the show many times. 40% of energy consumption is from the industrial sector, and 30% of greenhouse gases are emitted from the industrial sector. And that makes a lot of sense, right? Because you're using lots of power and you're making stuff, right? And so, you know, they go through and they talk about, and I'm going to just bypass anything that says ESG. To me, that's like, I just don't see those letters. And they get into some real brass tacks, like, you know, using emergent technology. So things are changing quickly. We like cobots, right? They have just exploded on the market. Digital twins are really starting to come into their own. I know there's going to be a days come soon where even smaller OEMs and smaller integration firms are going to be using digital twins. We just here were troubleshooting the HVA system, and I opened up one of their controllers. It's a backnet controller. We found a gear that kept stripping, and so the building administrator went, or our manager went over to one of the, I guess on the other side of the floor, there is a group of people who do 3D printing, and they 3D printed a new gear. So these new technologies, are definitely, you know, going to affect us at home, but it also affects smaller companies as well, not just the big guys who can afford all the R&D money. And so the article kind of goes through that. It talks about a lot of things that, you know, like listening to your employees. Like I've worked at places, especially when I was younger, where they told you to do something and it was pretty not very smart. Let me be nice. It didn't make any sense. So you would do it. And then they come back and say, well, that's not what I wanted, but it was exactly what they wanted you to do. So listening to your employees has always been important. And listen to your customers and vendors is important too. You know, we won't go into the premature elaboration story that was so popular back in the 90s about how not to jump ahead of the person you're talking to. But in any case, so I did in the end want to share this with you. I thought they did a good job covering some of these topics. I did want to like get sick when I was reading all these three-letter acronyms that are just total baloney. But in any case, be nice and kind to everyone and don't break the law. That's all you got to do. From there, we go over to our featured product of today, and that is our ControlLogix Level 1 and 2 course from theautomationschool.com. You'll notice here you can now purchase a voucher to give the course to somebody else. Perfect for purchasing agents, because purchasing agents, what they typically do is they'll buy the course and enroll it themselves into the course, and then they can change some things. They can't change everything, so they'll change the email to the student. But that's not good, because the student ends up having the receipt, the purchase receipt, and so on and so on. So you can now buy vouchers and give them to somebody else, which is really cool. And we're working on, maybe this weekend we'll have it out. We have a lot of groups from big companies who enroll lots of students in the groups, and we want to give them access to manage those groups and add new students, you know, self-serve service from a web page on the site. So I'm looking at that and reviewing that probably this weekend. We'll have that out. From there, we go over to a new newsletter from Automation Direct. And some people, they see, I talk about Automation Direct, they'll see boxes in the office here with Automation Direct. Look, they're a good company. You know, I order stuff from them. You know, I try to order the same things from major retailers, but I'm just too small a fish. So, you know what? I have nothing bad to say about them. And I have nothing bad to say about any of the major vendors. But in any case, I'm going to keep covering every vendor. If you think I'm not covering a vendor, I should be. Let me know, because I want to cover them all. Some of them I have to take out of the daily news list because they never publish any news. And it's like, you know, I'm opening up 50 vendor web pages. They never have anything new. So I have to, you know, we have to take those out occasionally because it's just a waste of time to open up a company's website where there's nothing new. So in any case, you can see here, they're talking about Seymour. They're talking about EtherCAT. They have all kinds of new products. These look pretty cool. these swivel mounts, new power supplies, new cables, new lugs. And then they have some application stories here and well, and a new Sure Servo 2 selection tool. So with that, we go over to a couple new videos from Emerson. I thought these were good. Didn't find any new catalogs or manuals from them, but one's about PeakView and PeakView Plus. It's just really a short video, 1 minute video explaining what they are. And then there was a second video about their wireless vibration monitoring system that can be used with their AMS system or without. And I just, the video is well done and really gives you an idea that, you know, you just stick these things on your motors and they can work with a mesh network. And I just thought it was pretty cool technology. I didn't want to spend a lot of time on it, but if you're interested, check that out. And I did want to mention our Control Logics guide, which is completely free. Over 170 free articles and videos over at theautomationblog.com. All you have to do is go to guides and select whichever guide you want, and it'll show you all of our content on that product in a nice ordered list. So I wanted to share that out this morning. And we have some new manuals. I thought this was interesting. You know, we copied, we covered the optics panel yesterday. There was a new, I think it was an installation document. Today, there's a new user's manual. So this is the Factory Talk Optics Optics Panel Compact. So the smaller guy, I think it has some serious limitations. So probably just for small OEMs. And then they also released, which is important if you're using Rockwell Automation industrial computers and monitors, they released the tech data sheet for that. It's almost like a catalog for that line of products. So definitely something you want to have on your hard drive if you're using these or specking these or, you know, building system with these. From there, we go over to Schneider. I saw this brand new brochure on the Modicon M1730. This is a small little PLC designed specifically for heat pumps, heat recovery units, you know, industrial chillers, air handling units, and there's an option with an onboard display, kind of like the old Micro 810, which I was always a big fan of. But you can see more information on here, especially you know, the memory, the size, and all that. So in any case, I'm just looking at the it has some IoT features as well. IoT, industry, Internet of Things. Okay. And from there, we go over to their compact and versatile RTUs. Okay, so a new brochure on that. And from there, to end the show, we have this new article from IEEE Spectrum. They have lots of new articles every day, but I try to just pick one or two that I think will be the most interesting. And for those of you who like looking back, I have recently had a great conversation with a gentleman who's trying to revive one of Rockwell's 1774 PLCs. It's a PLC-1. For lack of a better term, but in any case, if you guys know anything, if you have any users manuals, PDFs on the 1774 PLCs and like what different revs had different between them, please shoot them over to me and I'll forward it to this gentleman. I also asked him to come on the show and kind of talk about his journey, but we went back and forth on email quite a bit. It was a very interesting story of what he's tried and what he's doing. From what I found at ICOM, the old AI series for the PLC-2 will also program it, but I don't have the books. They're all in storage. Here we have an article, though, from IEEE Spectrum about the legacy of the DataPoint 2200 microcomputer. Now, this looks like an early, very, very early luggable, if you're listening and not watching. And it has a full-size, what we call a typewriter keypad. It kind of almost the standard PC keypad. It looks like it has a full number pad as well. It has several function keys. Kind of reminds me of my Commodore VIC-20 off to the side. Has what I thought was fun is it has a couple of cassette tape, cassette tape drives, which are both of them are open. They're on the top, so you can slide in a couple of cassette tapes for recording. That kind of killed my early programming in the Commodore days, because once I got over 10K a program, the cassette tape would never record it. Probably because I was using cheap cassettes because I was in my preteens or teens and didn't have any money, young teens. But in any case, I read this article. It's very interesting. They actually had Intel make them an 8008 chipset for this. That later became the 8080, which, of course, you know, was kind of how the personal computer generation or integrated circuits really took off right from that point. So in any case, I won't spoil the whole article for you or get anything more wrong, but I really enjoyed it. I didn't really know the DataPoint 2200. You know, I usually it's the early IBMs and early compacts that I was familiar with and used in college and right after getting out of college. But in any case, check that out. And with that, just want to thank the Automation School for filling in sponsor spot one and the Automation Blog for filling in sponsor two. And if you want to find, you can join our community, theautomationblog.com/community. Right now that points to locals.com. We're hoping we can build one that will let us give you guys even more content for your support. So, but for now, that's where it goes, automation.locals.com. Of course, we have ebooks and video collections if you guys want to support the show. And you can always send in your news tips, and you can use the TalkBack link to tell us what you're thinking. And with that, just a final reminder, every single link we covered today, you'll find at automate.news, right? No www, no.com. automate.news. And if you think I'm wrong about that alphabet soup that I was talking about earlier, because it seems like half the people out there love it and half the people out there don't like it, you know, use the TalkBack link and let me know. If I'm wrong, tell me. If you think I'm right, tell me. And if you don't have a thought on this, don't submit the form. With that, hey, I just want to wish you all an awesome day. And just want to encourage you, no matter what happens, stay courageous and stay fearless. And until next time, my friends, peace.